Last week on the first question, and kind of like a big foundational question, what is my purpose as a Christian? And up here on the screen are the topics that we've been given for those of you who are in the junior high session last week. This is kind of where we're headed. These will be some more like in the future topics. I'm not going to read through all of them, but we've got a pretty good assortment of issues. Worry is a big one. This is a good one. How to fix relationships with people that are past the point of no return. So we'll cover that in future. But we're going to go through these right now with the specific Bible questions. And last week we started with number 2 because that just kind of lays a foundation. And you see on your handout at the top that there's a brief outline. And as I told the senior high last week, I can't be completely like exhaustive in covering all these things. So if like a trigger, like a question is triggered in your mind, you're like, hey, I can't really understand this until you cover this, please just let me know, and I'll try to come back to it just to make sure that everybody has a complete and thorough understanding. But again, I know I can't cover all of it, so just bear with me a little bit. So we did, what is our purpose as a Christian? And you cannot fulfill your purpose apart from knowing Jesus Christ. We're not going to go through all that we went through last week. I'll just kind of give you the outline. But our general purpose in life is that we are to glorify God. Romans 8 tells us the reason that Jesus saved us, he purposed, he predestined, that we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So that is kind of the definition we've gone with for glorifying God, is to give the right opinion of who God is, to reflect his glory and his greatness. So to do that, we've got to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and that is our purpose. God created us to glorify him, and we do that by fearing God and obeying God. And we talked about last week how there was many people in the New and the Old Testament who gave thought to this very question, what is my purpose? And Solomon, the wisest man ever, said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is what we're talking about. We are supposed to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole purpose, that we fear God, that we have an awe and a respect for God, and sometimes a little bit of fear because, hey, we're going to stand judgment. That's what he's talking about at the end of the verse. We're going to have to give account for our actions, but also to keep his commandments, obey him. And the reason we do this, the motivation is, we're going to have to give account for everything that we do. So one of our purposes is to glorify God. Another reason God created us, well, first of all, read this quote. If David Wilkerson said this, if I'm not Christ-like at heart, if I'm not becoming noticeably more like him, then I've totally missed God's purpose for my life. So this is where we are headed. This is what we're created for, our purpose as a believer. And Jesus, before he went into heaven, said, hey, this is your mission. This is your purpose. Go. Teach all nations, evangelize, and teach them to observe whatever things I've commanded you. So in essence, Jesus is saying, hey, my purpose on this earth right now is done, but I'm leaving you here for this purpose. So your purpose as a Christian is this. This is what you're supposed to do. Glorify God, reflect his greatness, but then also evangelize. And then another reason God created us was to have fellowship with him. So we're supposed to have a relationship with God. David says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and a relationship with God satisfies, and when I awake with thy likeness. So he's bringing both of those things into it. Hey, I'm going to be like Jesus, I'm going to be like God, but also I'll be satisfied because I'm with God forever. So he's fulfilling both of those purposes in that statement. And then Paul adds to it, my purpose, I want nothing more than to know Christ and be found in him. So guys, our purpose as a believer, as a Christian, is to know Jesus Christ, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ so that we can glorify him. So that's a brief overview of what we went through last week. And that leads us to our individual purpose in life. Like, hey, God has a purpose for Philip, for Jessica, for Sam, for Robbie. For all of us, we have a specific purpose for which God created us. And there are scriptural examples. God has a specific purpose for Abraham, Noah, Joseph, Ruth, Esther, Mary, all these people. God wants us to accomplish something. So that leads us into that next question, God's will and finding it. So what is God's will for your life? Now, if you've been coming for most of the summer, you know that we did like a 3-week series. But I know that I got this question probably 3 or 4 times on that form. So apparently, we still need some clarification, some help with it. So we're going to kind of review quickly the outline of what we went through, and then we're going to kind of this morning walk through a practical, what does this look like in my life? So I'm going to need some participation with that. So overall principles that we're looking at in God's will is, hey, God has an overall plan. He has a sovereign will. His plan is that Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to rule and reign forever. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So all those things are for his glory and our good. So he's a sovereign will. It's going to happen. He's all powerful. It's going to be accomplished. But then a bunch of people in the Bible, David, Solomon, Isaiah, they believe that if we are really chasing after God, that God is going to reveal his specific purpose in our lives. So he's going to reveal his will, and he's going to tell us exactly what to do. Jesus believed that, and as the Father guided Jesus, even in Jesus' life, he's going to guide us. So we don't have to worry about whether or not God is going to reveal his will to us. If we're seeking after God, he's going to show it to us. But then also, the key for me to determine what is God's will for my life is God's word, is Scripture. God's given us everything we need for life and godliness. So if you're like, hey, what is God's will for my life? You don't sit back in the corner and like think about it for hours, right? I mean, that's not going to be profitable. You've got to open God's word and look for specific commands and specific instruction. So God gives his moral will. We talked about that. That's, hey, 10 commandments. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. God gives specific commands. If you disobey those commands, you're out of God's will. You're not fulfilling what God's will is. So that's a first step defining your individual purpose in life, that you're fearing God, you're obeying him, you're glorifying him. But it also guides us in making personal decisions. So like there are principles throughout Scripture that, hey, maybe it's not specifically mentioned, thou shalt not go to McDonald's on Thursdays or stuff like that, like specific things. But there are principles that we can apply to things like that. So if there's no specific verse, look for those principles. So follow commands and principles. And I know we're flying through this, but guys, God's will is not like a mystery. It's not like God is up there and he's like, I've got a purpose for your life, but good luck finding it, man. I'm going to hide it from you, right? I mean, that's not who God is. He wants us to know what his purpose for us is. So a couple things we talked about a couple weeks ago, you don't find God's will by looking for open doors, right? I mean, there are open doors all over the place. I mean, there's an open door for me to walk in the back of the room and just haul off and punch Mr. Ashley in the face. I mean, I have an open door to do that. It's a possibility. So it doesn't mean that's God's will for me to do, right? I mean, we can't be looking for those open doors. I don't find God's will by looking at circumstances. So for some of you who are like juniors and seniors, you're like, what is God's will for my life for college? Do I go to college? If I do, which college do I go to? When I was looking at colleges, I mean, 25 colleges sent me information. If I look at those circumstances, I couldn't say, hey, it's God's will that I go to all 25 of these colleges. I mean, we can't look at circumstances. We can't look at results like, hey, if I do this, I'm going to be rich, and then I can give a lot of money back to the church. Hey, maybe that is part of God's will for your life, but that shouldn't be like the driving factor. I don't find God's will based on my feelings. I mean, a lot of times I don't feel like obeying God's word. I mean, when we're tired, I feel like complaining. So if I'm looking for God's will, I may not feel like going to college. I don't want to do those 4 years of work. But it might be God's will that I go to college to train for a specific thing. And I also don't find God's will by putting out a fleece. Now, that's kind of what Gideon did, and God did it for him, but he also said, hey, my word should be enough for you. And he specifically told Gideon to do something. He said, and Gideon prayed, if it's really your will, then the fleece will be wet. So what that could look like for us today, God, if you really want me to go to college, I pray that next week in the mail, I get a $10,000 check to pay for it. If I don't get that $10,000 check, it's not your will that I go to college. I mean, that's an extreme example, but we can do that kind of stuff. So that's not how we find God's will. So how do you do it? First step, do what you already know is God's will. Follow those specific commands. Thou shalt not, so follow his moral will. And then God's will is that you obey Scripture. Obey. And if you're like, hey, I'm unsure exactly what God is saying about this thing, follow the clear commands, and then a lot of times some of those unclear things will kind of click when you find all those principles. So we'll go through that practically. I know that's kind of vague at this point. So apply the principles, and sometimes you have to get more information. Like, hey, what does this college teach? What is the doctrine of this college? What is the main, what happens to the graduates of this college? So you can get more information. If I go there, how's this going to affect my spiritual life? How am I going to be able to grow? How am I going to be able to glorify God? So that's what getting more information means. Often now the decision is going to be clear. So what if like you've got several different choices within a decision that both fall under God's word? Like, hey, I'm obeying all of God's specific commands. I'm not disobeying any principles. So still, what do I do? I mean, I've got four good colleges to choose from. What do I do? Go ahead and pray that God will make his desire your desire. That comes from Psalm 37:4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. That's the first step. That's what we've already been talking about. Seek after his will. Seek his clear commands. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So now, if you've got three or four options that are good, that are not disobeying God's laws, that are not disobeying his commands, that, hey, you can grow spiritually after you've gotten more information, that are still good options, go for the one that you want to do. That's not wrong. God uses those things. But that should be the last thing, right? Instead of putting that at the top of the list, because that makes it all about me. That, hey, even where I go to college, where I go to school, who I marry, it's all about what I want. So that's backwards, but God does work through those things. So actually now that we've done a brief review, I think this is kind of where more of you have questions. So we're going to kind of do a case study. Now, I need a lot of involvement for this one because we're going to work through this together because I want you guys to learn how to do it. So somebody give me an example decision. I know that people have been talking to Jessica about this. Like, they've been asking questions about this series specifically. Hey, Brandon, Pastor Brandon said this about finding God's will. I just don't quite understand. So let's work through some of those. Stephen. Okay, so where do I attend church? What is God's will for me to attend church? Okay, so according to what we just looked at, what is that first step in finding God's will? What does the Bible say about church? I mean, there's a lot of things. Okay, so participation is key in this, all right? So let's participate. So what does God say in his word about church, about attending church? Consistency. He says, do not forsake it. So you've got to be consistently in God's in church, meeting with God's people. Okay? What else? The church is a place of fellowship. Okay, so how can you encourage others to grow, and who in that church is going to help you grow? Is there ministries and opportunities in that church for you to grow? What else does God say about attending church? Okay, so it has to be a church that preaches the word. What does God say about, what are some passages of scripture or some phrases that you may not know the reference to about what Paul says specifically about a church who does not teach true doctrine? Anybody know? He says, if anyone preach any other gospel to you besides the gospel that I've preached, let him be accursed. Okay, so God has some pretty strong things to say about that. So these are all straight commands, straight principles from God's word. So that's where we are. Anything else? What else can you remember? Godly music. Okay, so an aspect of worship in church is music. God says it. Encourage, exhort one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, giving praise to the Lord. So you've got to examine that church's music. And that opens up a whole lot more about worship and what is true worship and all of those things. But that has to be an element. So the music has to encourage you to love the Lord. What else does the Bible say about church and attending church? Can you think of anything else? It should be a house of prayer. So if we are not running to the Lord and asking dependence and strength and help from God, if the church isn't a church of prayer, maybe you should cross that one off your list. If the church doesn't have music that edifies the Lord, maybe you should cross that one off your list. If the church is not preaching true doctrine, cross it off your list. That's God's will. That's his straightforward commands. Okay, yeah, Paul, I think it's in Timothy, forget first or second. He says, the elder are to exhort the younger. And the younger, what's our responsibility towards the elders in our church? I'm hearing a lot of whispers. Respect? Yeah, he says in that same passage, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. So we are to be an example. We're supposed to encourage. We're supposed to exhort. So when you're looking at churches, hey, how are the the age groups interacting? Are the retired people just like, hey, I'm done, I'm out of here. Like, I've done my time. And here at Colonial, you don't see that. You see retired men and women here every day. I mean, serving the church. Okay? So that's another thing you got to look at. What else?
I know also Paul in his epistles talks about the leadership and what their lives should look like. And that's something to examine. Do the pastor's lives, do the people who are in charge, deacons, do they meet the requirements?
Yeah, you've got to meet. Pastors got to meet the requirements. So they've got to be blameless. The husband of one wife, all these things. So like if you've got a pastor at a church that you're looking at attending and you're like, man, there's a lot of question marks about a lot of things that are kind of that are facts, and like it's come out that this has happened, then you've got to give some serious thought. But at the same time, you've got to balance that with, hey, some people have gossiped and lied about this person. So you've got to get more information. That's in that stage. That's something you got to consider. What else can we put into this first category of commands of Scripture, Stephen?
Ordinances.
Yeah, you've got to be. Got to be doing what we talked about last week. What are the ordinances?
Baptism,
communion. So, what is the purpose of baptism? Rachel.
It's an outward testimony to others that you're not only accepting Christ, but you're going to strive.
Yeah, it's an outward testimony. So, it's not like, hey, to be saved, you got to have this. But a church has to practice that, hey, someone comes forward and they publicly identify with Jesus Christ. That they are raised to new life in Jesus Christ and they want to change and go ahead and glorify the Lord. So, communion, remembering what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, taking time to set that time apart. So, there's more, but we got to move on for sake of time. So, these are all like straight commands. So, if you're like looking at churches and you're seeing they don't match up with this, off the list. Off the list, off the list. So now you've still got three or four good church options. So now we talked about straight up commands, but also what are some principles that maybe aren't like straightforward things said directly about church that you should consider about what church you attend?
How do they disciple people?
So God also commands us to be disciples and be disciple makers. So is there someone in this church that is going to invest in my life and help me grow? But also, what opportunities do I have to disciple someone else? It's not a one-way street. So that's a principle. Stephen.
Is there doors open more than just Sundays and Wednesdays? Like, do they have other activities to reach out?
Okay, yeah, so are they actively reaching out? Not just minimal, hey, I'm doing like only the commands of Scripture. Because, hey, that's good. You've got to obey those, but can you do more? Okay, so outreach. Kylie had her hand up. That was the same one. I saw another hand. Any other principles? Rachel. Are they wise with their money? Where a church puts their money, man, shows where their focus is. Okay, we're going to take a couple more minutes because you've got time. So, Where do they invest their money? So we've talked about the principles, are the biblical commands, are the biblical principles, and then are there other factors that must be considered? Okay, so like, there might be a good church, but it might be 4 hours from you. How faithful can you be, Rachel?
Or something like,
she'll get it back. Noelle?
Okay, how loving is the church family?
How open is the church family? Okay, personal convictions. Hey, I might have personal convictions that may not be specific commands of Scripture. We talked about this with standards. Would I be comfortable with the standards that this church has set? They're not violating commands or principles, but they have standards that, hey, I might not be comfortable with. That's not a place where you're going to be have an open opportunity to grow. So we've got to move on quickly. So consider the situation. That's kind of where you're getting more information. So we talked about them a little bit. What opportunities do I have? Where are they? Where are they putting their money? Where are they? But also, how is this going to affect my relationship with maybe a church you're leaving? Is it best for me to leave this church to go to this church? What other situational things might you have to think about? I'm going to finish in the next couple minutes. I know some of you are kind of getting distracted. What other situational things might we have to put into this decision? Mary.
Maybe your family, maybe going with us, so that you're just making your family more happy.
Yeah, family. How does this strain relationships with family? Is it, and the question you're always asking is, in this part of the decision, what is best? And that goes back to my purpose in life. What is going to best enable me to glorify God and reflect who He is? Caitlin. Yeah, how's it going to disciple each member of my family? So those are big decisions. Stephen.
Is there more ministry opportunities other than just being pastor or deacon? Like, is there places to plug in for teams or whatever?
Yeah, does the church limit its ministry opportunities to just the pastor? Because is that biblical? No. God calls each and every one of us to serve. So what opportunities do you have? So again, all those things kind of factor into it. And kind of with this is more like, this part of the decision is, how's this going to affect my relationships with family? Practicality stuff. So now the church is 4 hours away. Obviously, you've got to cross that off your list. Can't be that faithful. So now you've got to obey the Bible, obey the commands that you've talked about, obey the principles, consider those things. Now you've got how many biblical options? If you've got three good churches that are within a drivable distance, that don't violate any of those things, that meet all the qualifications of a scriptural church, how many options do you have left? So if you've got three, then you prayerfully claim Psalm 37:4 in Philippians 2:13. It's God that works in you to will and to do His good pleasure. So God enables you and helps you to meet His will. Any questions about any of that? Did that help? That's kind of the process you're going through when you're kind of deciding on God's will for specific things. Any questions before we close? Everybody's scared to raise their hand because you're like, I want to get out of here. Okay. I'll go ahead and pray, and if you have questions about that,